This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India-UK Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. The participants are Professor Gulshan Sachdeva from Center for European Studies, JNU, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
The trajectory of India-UK bilateral relationship has been upward and both the countries have been collaborating on a wide range of issues. The ties were upgraded to a comprehensive strategic partnership in 2022 during former Prime Minister of UK Boris Johnson's tenure, accompanied by a 2030 roadmap to deepen the bilateral ties between the two nations. Today, the spotlight is on the visit of UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy's visit to India. Within 3 weeks of the formation of the Labour government, this visit is significant. To discuss more on this, we have with us Professor Gulshan Sachdeva. Professor Sachdeva, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Professor Sachdeva, before discussing the visit in detail, for the benefit of our listeners, I would like you to explain what is 2030 roadmap between the two nations.
Well, 2030 roadmap was, you know, when British Foreign Minister Boris Johnson, when he came to India in 2021, and then our relations, you know, which were earlier, we signed in 2004 strategic partnership. Then in 2010, they were elevated to enhanced partnership for the future. And then when we had this comprehensive strategic partnership, during that declaration, we also adopted an ambitious roadmap 2030. This roadmap basically highlighted that there is a growing convergence in large number of areas between India and the UK. And these areas were, it was trade and investment, which was obvious. But it also went into defense and security, into climate action, into health issues, counter-terrorism. Then, of course, then we're also looking into people-to-people contact and also the mobility and migration issues. So it means it's large number of areas where it was identified that these are the areas where we have convergences. And then by 2030, certain roadmaps were, or certain benchmarks were kind of fixed, that these are the things which we will be able to achieve in the coming years. What has happened is, in the post-Brexit scenario, both countries, they were trying to, there is convergence in large number of areas because their strategic and economic priorities have basically converged with the Indian strategic and economic priorities. And particularly when their integrated approach, they also announced British tilt toward the Indo-Pacific. And then we, in 2022, now later on, we have also started a negotiation on the FTA. So these are the, you know, I think two things, Indo-Pacific and the FTA, which really has brought these two countries together. And all these things, it's not just only about certain documents which were signed in all those last so many years, particularly in the last, since 2004 and then in the last couple of years. This also has been helped by a solid institutional mechanism. Now, this institutional mechanism is basically you have all the summit meetings, large number of dialogues, consultations, foreign office consultations. And then in 2023, we also established India-UK 2+2 foreign and defense ministers dialogue. So it means a lot of things are happening at different places. And 2030 roadmap basically put all these things together and give a holistic picture of where India and UK can, you know, improve their relations in the coming years.
Professor Sachdeva, well, you mentioned FTA in your answer. So my next question to you is actually on the FTA. During the visit of Mr. Lammy, he met Prime Minister Modi and also the External Affairs Minister, Dr. S. Jaishankar. He pushed for an early conclusion of the FTA between both the nations. Can you throw some light on the key features of the FTA and also what are the roadblocks which are stopping us from achieving the FTA?
FTA is a very complicated business, but in a sense, in a simple, you know, wording, it means that all kind of tariff and non-tariff impediments which are there between India and the UK, they should be removed and the goods and services can easily flow between India and the UK. Now, we have been negotiating with the UK for the last, I would say, you know, more than 20 years now. It started in 2007 when they were part of EU, European Union. Then we were negotiating with the European Union, the free trade agreement since then. Then in 2013, those negotiations were frozen. Those negotiations have started differently with the European Union. Now, in between, UK has come out from the European Union. So after, when European Union came out from the EU, So it was expected that it will be easier perhaps to negotiate with the UK because there was 27, 28 countries in the EU. Now there are only two countries, so they know where exactly they can make compromises, what are their main interests in each other's markets. So we started separate negotiation with the UK in 2022. Particularly Prime Minister Boris Johnson was very, very aggressive on this, very, very hopeful, ambitious. So he in fact put the even deadline by Diwali, we can actually get this agreement signed. You know, many areas and particularly many sectors where there are certain problems. With our industry, you have the auto sector, you have services, you have foods and drink sector, which they want to have because, you know, British Scotch whiskey is a very important market for them in India, and we have 150% tariffs on that. So obviously they want to reduce this tariff to the minimum and then they want to capture the Indian market. Similarly, India also has many products which can enter into the European market and also the UK market, but they also have certain non-tariff issues because many of our agriculture products cannot really enter British or the European markets because there are certain kind of, you know, restrictions are there. So under all these negotiations, we have about 26 different chapters which need to be negotiated. As per reports, there has been agreement in most of these chapters, but still I think certain issues which need to be resolved. And particularly, you know, the issue which has also been critical for India, can we link this with the migration and mobility? It means that if they get certain more benefits in the goods sector in the Indian market or in the services sector in the Indian market, where are the sectors where Indians can get more benefits in the British market? So certain services. We also need certain, you know, skilled mobility of Indian professionals into the UK market. And most importantly, many of our IT companies, they take Indian professionals for short-term mobility to those countries. And then they work there, then they come back. Now, how all these issues can be resolved where, you know, we'll have less and less restrictions at the end of the day. So both countries can benefit more. So now, and then there are also issues of labor issues. There are also environmental issues, which also they want to bring into certain discussions within the negotiations. So all these negotiations are on, but, you know, we are very hopeful that very soon we'll be able to conclude those negotiations. Hopefully in the next few months, we'll have some good news in this.
Moving ahead, Professor Sachdeva, India and UK launched a new Technology Security Initiative, TSI, which was the highlight of Mr. Lammy's visit to India. TSI was launched to elevate the strategic partnership between the two countries to the next level. So I have two questions here. Please explain TSI, and there are many, but one of the focus area under TSI is AI, artificial intelligence. How will AI play a role in supporting new partnerships between the two nations, and how will it also help in tackling the global challenges?
This is very clear that, you know, other issues are very clear that, you know, Britain and India, they're very important for each other on trade and investment and also for technology. That was quite evident earlier also. But what this particularly TSI or Technology Security Initiative, which has been established now, and if you look at, it's not just only artificial intelligence, which of course is also a very, very important area because every industry, every processing is artificial intelligence. But if you look at all these areas, you know, they have telecoms, critical minerals, semiconductors, quantum, biotechnology, advanced materials, all of them. And importantly, this will also be monitored by the National Security Advisor. It tells you something that it's not just technology. These are those technologies which are very, very critical for national security in both the countries. And I think there is also a very clear dimension to this, the Chinese dimensions. Because these are also the areas where Chinese companies are becoming more and more important. You look at the critical minerals, you look at artificial intelligence, you look at telecom. Now, these are the areas where I think companies from the UK and companies from India, they would be facing a lot of competition from Chinese companies. And this will have certain security implications for both the countries. So what actually I think this TSI tells us that within the Indo-Pacific, this area, now they feel that both particularly, we are also quite dependent on trade with China. Similarly, UK is also dependent, not just only trade, but also they have a lot of investment linkages also with China, and they also have investment coming from China to UK as well. And many of the Chinese companies are also active in UK in many of these areas. Now, all countries, not just only UK, all European countries, US, and all Western countries, they want to reduce their dependence. And it's not easy. So ultimately, you have to identify who are your other critical partners. Like India also have Trade and Technology Council with the European Union. Similarly, European Union also has Trade and Technology Council with the United States. So all these things are working, in a sense, closely, because we also have very close ties with the United States. We also have very close ties with the EU. Similarly, UK and EU also has very solid transatlantic partnership. So how all these countries bilaterally, multilaterally, they can work with each other and try to look into some of these areas where India has certain strengths in some areas in artificial intelligence. UK also has certain very solid strengths in some of these areas, particularly the telecom and biotechnology and health sectors. And how these two countries can really bring their resources together, bring their companies and academic institutions together, so they can really kind of reduce their dependence on China, at the same time come out with new, I would say, technology products. And artificial intelligence, as you mentioned, is one of the very, very key area, because we do not know what kind of role artificial intelligence is going to play. And everybody is saying that it's already playing a very, very significant role in almost every processing which is happening today. And China is very important player in the artificial intelligence already. So how other countries will come together and try to kind of counter the Chinese influence and also get benefit and, bring new products into the market.
Professor Sachdeva, you mentioned Indo-Pacific, and that brings me to my next question. The two sides also agreed to deepen defense and security cooperation in the Indo-Pacific and beyond. They also touched upon threats from the non-state actors. Both the countries conduct joint military exercises and host visits also. What are the areas where the cooperation could be increased when it comes to defense?
Well, if you look at most of the declaration in the last few years, there has been quite a lot of, reference to cooperation in the defense and security fields. Practically, it takes time to get into defense, and particularly the defense cooperation. Because, you get into defense cooperation when your perceptions about your national security and the broader global security converge. Now, in certain areas, obviously, as you have mentioned in the Indo-Pacific, their security and economic concerns have clearly coincided with India. At the same time, in some other areas, say, for example, the Ukraine war, the British perceptions about Ukraine war are very, very different than Indian perceptions are. Their perceptions or their perceptions about, say, the Russian operation or the Ukraine war is very different. So they look at Russia very differently, because for Europe as well as for UK today, Russia is a major security concern. And they are looking, their aim is really strategic defeat of Russia. But India does not look at Russia in those terms, because for us, strong Russia is very, very important for the, the multilateral world. Otherwise, the total Western domination of all the global institutions is also not good for the global South and also for India. So there are areas where we have convergences, and there are some other areas where convergence may or may not happen. So similarly, but one thing is quite clear, since we have this, 2+2 dialogue, this dialogue has already taken place. Our defense minister also visited UK, and they are also going to have some of their joint military operations, and at a very higher level things are going to happen. So it's happening, but these are, I would say, still early days to talk about major defense and security cooperation. But it's on. Hopefully in the next few years, depending on how our interests converge, things are going to work in those areas.
Professor Sachdeva, the Indian government has been very vocal on the issue of terrorism, and UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy is learned to have assured the Indian government that the new UK government will be tough on terrorism. How do you view this, and will it play a positive role in forging ties between the two countries?
Well, this has been one issue which has been an irritant in the past, and particularly there were worries because with earlier Labour governments had certain different kind of attitude toward Pakistan and also towards Kashmir and also the separatist elements within UK. In that context, I think the Foreign Secretary's visit is very, very important, because he also wants to assure India. In fact, this is what I think they have been trying to project, that this Labour is a new Labour. It's a different, it's less ideological, and the hard left factor within the Labour is kind of being marginalized by the new prime minister. So they are trying, they are becoming more practical. And in that context, I think all those at the broader level, would say the intelligence sharing, etc., that's already happening under India-UK strategic partnership. But there has been certain, I would say, the kind of, you know, the support or acceptance of many of those activities of separatist elements within UK, which has been irritant. If India is assured, they will not encourage many of those activities within UK, and then we really work on specific terrorism and counter-terrorism measures together. That will be very helpful for India-UK relations in the long run.
Professor Sachdeva, you have decoded UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy's visit to India in simpler terms for our listeners. Thank you so much for sparing your time for this discussion.
Thank you for the invitation.
You were listening to a discussion on India-UK Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. The participants were Professor Gulshan Sachdeva from Center for European Studies, JNU, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.